And welcome to the 2019 Royalton Royals High School Football Preview. I'm Rick Graham, and on You Are Their Sports, and I'm joined by the head coach of the Royalton Royals, Coach Jamie Morford here. Coach, ready for another 2019 campaign. Tell us about your staff. Who comes back on the sidelines for the Royals this year?
We're bringing back quite a few of the coaches. We have the four mainstays that are paid, myself, Nick Lanners, Randy Tilgis, and Ryan Wiener. And then we have two volunteers, and that's Joel Swenson and Craig Sauer. So we did lose a couple volunteers from last year, it's always nice to have as many guys on the sidelines as you can. So, again, I think for the size of school we are, to have six coaches on the sidelines really, really helps.
Talk about the value of having a stable coaching staff, too, where you're not having to coach the coaches.
Yeah, Randy's been doing this for forever. You know, he was the coach before we were here. Mm-hmm. So he's seen a lot of football.
Took over from Newt Rockne, right?
Something like that. Yeah, it was something like that. And then, Nick Lanners has played for us. Mm-hmm. Ryan Wiener has played for us. So we've got, two guys who know the system inside and out. Randy does an amazing job with our defense. Our defense has gotten better every year since he took over. And it's one little step here and here and here. And this year when we were doing some stuff over the summer to see what the kids knew and remembered, we were putting in coverages that 3 years ago we couldn't even do mid-season, and we put them in no time flat. So it really, really helps that, the young kids come in, they understand what we want to do offensively, defensively, and special teams, and then those guys help carry it over.
What about numbers-wise? What have you seen here in this preseason workout? What are the Royals looking at for guys that you feel can dress and maybe be not so much a Friday night component, but a part of the program?
Well, so you lose 13 seniors. I think it was 13. That's a lot of bodies to replace.
For a double-A school.
Yep, it's pretty tough. So we're our numbers, we usually hover right around 50, sometimes 55. This year we're a little bit shy. We're at 47 currently. But we have an amazing young group of kids coming in. The freshman class that is coming in this year, we've been hearing about since they were in sixth grade. And, watching them in seventh grade and eighth grade and watching, how they played their opponents. And these kids were older than they really were. And now that they're freshmen, we're going to potentially be asking a couple of them to play major roles in special teams, in backing up, even potentially starting. So, having a senior class this year of only six, and then returning quite a few people tells you that we had a pretty young class last year. So we're building a really good nucleus here for the next couple of years. We're really excited about that. hopefully all the seniors can stay healthy.
When you talk about replacing 13 seniors, you're not only replacing the athletic talent, the playmakers and such, you're having to find new leaders. Who are you looking to fill the leadership role?
Well, there's all six of the seniors have actually done a very, very good job so far this year. I've been very, very surprised with them stepping into that role. A couple guys that really stick out, Gavin Suada, Josh Mayer, Matt Casella. I could actually probably name all six. Mm-hmm. They've all done something. Either it's vocally, lead by example, doing things in the off season. To watch them take this leadership role on, I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, because some of them were pretty quiet last year. But for them to take this step has been huge. And to be honest with you, we're actually having some younger kids. We got two sophomores that are driving people and pushing people and, asking more of each other, of the older guys. So it's, I don't do captains. We choose captains every week.
Okay.
So our captains are chose by how...
What's the theory? Okay, yeah, explain the theory behind that.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, it wasn't that we didn't have great leaders. I just wanted to change the philosophy behind what a captain meant.
Okay.
Part of it was that it was, it's the guy that goes out for the coin toss, and at the end of the day, he gets a little asterisk in the program, and that's really all it was. Well, I want it to be something more, and so... The emphasis is on not what you did the week before, but what you did in practice. So more than once in the last couple of years, we have had a freshman that has gone out and done the coin toss because of how they practice and what they did, what they did to help the team. I've had a kid that
busted his butt every drill.
Yeah. I actually had a kid that was a captain because of what he did in school.
Yeah.
You know, he helped in a situation where he didn't need to, but he interjected as a student leader type of a thing, and he was a sophomore. I don't even remember, but maybe that was 2 years ago. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
The point is that,
you know, I want to put more emphasis on not just
earning it.
Yeah. And it's not
it's
just
a constant thing.
Yeah. Cause you know, you give it to your superstar or you give it to your better player type of thing. And all of a sudden that guy takes it for granted. And you got other people that are busting their butt. They deserve to be out there too. And so, I like it. I think the kids enjoy it. It's something that we do every Thursday before the game, you know, and we say, here's our offensive, defense, and special teams guy, you know, captain for the week, and kids are always waiting.
At a school the size of Royalton, it's, I would say, not impossible, but borderline really difficult to have success, to build a program without multi-sport athletes and the value. Those names that you've mentioned, those are familiar names because they've done other things.
Correct, yes. And I think that for me, and I hope I never go against what I'm going to say here, is that I always want kids to be in other sports, and I don't want to ever take away from other sports. So we don't put football over any other sport, and I encourage those kids. At the end of last year, before spring sports started, you know, I sent out a huddle message saying, hey, if you're not in baseball and if you're not in track, well, then you better get your butt out for track. They need numbers. They don't have enough. And you can always find throwers, and you can always find people that'll run sprints. But you got to do something and get, you know, when you're in those other type of activities, you become a more well-rounded athlete. So I never want to have a person that's just, oh, I'm going to play football and that's it. I'd rather have them do as many things as they can.
Jamie Morford, the head coach of the Royalton Royals football team, joining us here on the Royalton Football Preview Show on You Are There Sports. So let's take a look at the returning personnel. What are the biggest holes? Let's start on the defensive side of the ball that you feel need to be filled in and addressed immediately.
Well, the good side on defense is we're returning quite a few people.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be hard to replace Zach Gutwalt, Wyatt Lahr. I mean, they were two key leaders in the secondary. But we also had two guys that actually, you know, they also played back there. Gavin Suada was hurt for a lot of the year, but he was actually one of the starting corners at one point and then came back and earned that spot back. Those two really, really hurt. You know, Damian Tyson's another one. He played really, really well at outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. But when we looked at this year, we said, okay, we know we have a really good nucleus of defensive linemen coming back. We're really excited about them. We literally are bringing back all but one, plus about three or four deep. Probably the deepest we've ever been at defensive line. And what I would hope to be pretty darn good up front. The linebackers, we're going to be a little bit new there. We have one returning starter, one kid that was probably penciled in to eventually take over a starting spot last year. He broke his collarbone.
Okay.
So then, you know, we're really, in my opinion, we're looking to replace one middle linebacker and one cornerback or one outside linebacker. And we have a kid who last year started as a freshman, played nose guard for us. Really, really good nose guard. He's kind of got an instinct for the ball, so we've been training him at middle linebacker, and it's he's going to be something special. So, you know, we felt pretty good coming into this that we had some of the right personnel, and now we just got to, you know, we got to find one secondary person and one outside linebacker, and I think once we kind of get those things shored up, we should be pretty solid on defense. We feel really good about it.
On the offensive side of things, what's the Royalton philosophy and the personnel that you'll look to fill those roles?
Well, if you've ever watched Royalton football, we're going to run the football.
We're going to run the ball.
You know, we're not going to do it from a wishbone set or an eye set. We're going to be a little bit unconventional. We run a hybrid wing, so we're wing T principles, but we're trying to get outside, and we're always trying to outspeed you, outmaneuver you, type of a thing. So there was a lot of things that we had to replace this year. You know, you look at, you know, Gavin Suska, who was a 3-year starter at quarterback. He's playing quarterback up at Concordia. Zach Gutwalt was, you know, he went to NDSU.
Yep.
Wyatt Lahr's playing up at St. Scholastica. So, ironically, when you talk about players to go on that play at the next level, I don't think you would ever associate two wide receivers and a quarterback coming from Royalton.
Right.
But that's what we had last year, and that's what we're going to have to replace for this year. So it was, you know, we're going to have some youth again. Some, we'll call it inexperience at those positions, but feel pretty talented.
Do you kind of shorten the playbook when you until that you feel comfortable that young players have grasped the concepts, or do you just say, "Hey, it's up to you to learn it. Here it is."
No. I'd like to think that our offense is. I mean, it looks very unique. There's a lot of things to it, but in its simplest form, it's really not that hard. So if you understand the basic concepts, and we try to give our kids a ton of opportunity to learn on the fly and then be able to make adjustments on the field. So we do a lot of learning by mistake, learning how to correct the error on the fly, you know, because I can't go out and tell the defensive linemen or linebackers, or I can't tell them how to line up. So we have to be able to adjust on the fly. And so that's what really takes the most time. Mm-hmm. Once we get past that, we can do a lot of things with our offense. But until we get to that point, it's a learning process.
In your years as a head coach, have you found it a common thing where, like, okay, by week four, I know what kind of team I've got here? Or is it a year-by-year, like, you might not know until the end of the year when you're all healthy, or, you know, do you know right out of the gun that we got a ton of kids coming back, we're going to be really good, and we just got to execute and play well?
I think that varies year to year. Yeah. Sometimes it's you go into the season, you know, and this is, what, my 19th season? I don't even know, 18th, 19th season, something like that. But when you've been doing it for so long, there's sometimes where you go into it and you're thinking, wow, we're going to be pretty good, and all of a sudden, no, we're not as good as we thought we were, or vice versa. We don't know if we're going to be that good, and all of a sudden we didn't understand how good some of our own players were at the sub-varsity levels that were pushing the varsity kids and go, all right, we're not – 2016 was a prime example. We knew we'd be okay. Mm-hmm. We did not anticipate that we would go to the state tournament. We just didn't think, you know, we're not that type of a ball club, and to
maybe
be able to
hear ahead of time, or
So I think it really depends year over year, and you really need to kind of get into the meat of the season to kind of understand things. So,
if you could throw a few names out there on the offensive side of things, if people read the headlines or hear the ball games, who do you expect to hear? Maybe scoring the touchdowns, rushing for the yards, throwing for the yards, making the catches.
I hope it's a lot of different people, and I'm not looking for one individual person to really lead us. But obviously, you know, Gavin Suato is our starting quarterback. He's pretty fleet of foot, and he throws a really nice long ball. Wing backs, we feel we have three pretty good ones. Dylan Skira, Brady Conrad, and then we have a freshman, Connor Carlson, who has been just a treat of a surprise to say that there's a freshman that can start in that position. The last one that actually started there as a freshman was Zach Lanners, and those in the area probably have heard that name a time or three.
That is very familiar.
And I'm not going to try to compare him to Zach by any means, but he is very, very good. And so, you know, we feel pretty confident there. Our fullback, Aaron Block, big kid, 220 pounds. He worked really, really hard this offseason. Feel his first step is much quicker. He got some varsity time last year, so we'll be kind of looking at him to kind of carry the load or shoulder the load when it comes to the short yardage type of stuff. And then, you know, we do some unconventional things. So you might hear a name of a Josh Maya scoring a touchdown. We like to do some of those type of things. Get linemen
tackle eligible.
You betcha. Have a little fun. Those poor guys, they work their butts off, and they don't ever get to do anything like that. So now all of a sudden, if you give a token here and there, it's amazing what that does for the morale of all the linemen.
Speaking of working hard, what's the off-season program that you put together with your coaches for your players? What do you tell them to work on? You know, is it strength? Is it speed? Is it, you know, just basic improve your overall cardio? What's
– biggest thing is
– Or you kind of leave it up to the kids? Not many schools – a lot of schools now are more hands-on than it used to be when we were growing up and playing. It was like once football season was done, it's on to the next thing. You didn't pick up a football until August again. But that's not the case anymore.
It is funny how times change, isn't it? This year we really, really wanted to focus on speed and flexibility.
Yep. Is that part injury prevention too, the flexibility?
Most definitely. Yep. Most definitely. And, then, you know, if you start working out, And if you're not doing some of those other things to make yourself limber, you get big and strong, and then you become super inflexible. And yes, also next thing you know, you tear a shoulder, you're popping your hamstring constantly because you're just not stretched out. So we really wanted to work on speed and flexibility, and I think that there's probably a key 10, 11 guys that worked really, really hard this offseason, and you can totally tell that it's working for them. So hopefully we can build on that in the future.
As we record this Royalton football preview show, is there a scrimmage coming up tomorrow? I know you open up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So have you scrimmaged, or are you scrimmaging tomorrow?
We're scrimmaging tomorrow. We're going to Kimball, and okay. it's a yearly thing we do with Kimball, Belgrade, Osakis, Sleepy Eye, and then ourselves. So it's a five team deal. We usually do it at St. John's University, but something happened this year where the scheduling conflicts and it's not available. So we're doing it at Kimball this year, but. We should.
You know how to get to Kimball? Do you need somebody to draw you a map? Or
I'm pretty sure if we take Highway 15 south, we'll get there eventually.
You might get there. I was broadcasting when Jamie was playing for Kimball. So,
just a couple years ago, right?
Just a few.
It was like yesterday, I think.
And then right after you graduated, they put face masks on.
It was crazy, yeah. I never got to play with one of those.
What are you looking for? First things you see that you're game ready tomorrow when you go up against those teams that aren't wearing the maroon and gold. What's your first thing you're going to be watching for? Just clean execution or?
So two things, and yes, and execution's one. Yep. I think the biggest thing is that we've always believed in a philosophy of being a little bit lighter at practice. We don't do a lot of hitting.
Okay.
A lot of our tackling drills are actually done almost in a non-contact type setting. Trying to do everything I can to preserve our kids until we get to the season.
And the St. John's philosophy.
Oh, yeah, and Joel went to St. John's, it's kind of ironic.
Yeah,
that
figure.
All comes together. But it really is. We spend in the season one day a week full pads. The rest of the time we're in shells. And again, football's a numbers game. And Rick, you know this as well as I do, is that if you don't have the numbers, you're not going to be successful.
Right.
And so we want to keep these kids as healthy as possible. So really tomorrow is, are we ready to hit? Are these young guys ready to get hit? I'm here to tell you, Osakis is going to bring they're going to bring the wood. So
yep.
We better be ready for it. But on top of that is, understanding, getting to the right spots, finding some of those positions that where we still have a battle going on. Who's the guy that takes the next step, and who can we lean on, for the rest of the year potentially to really anchor up that spot. So we're those two things are really, really important for us. I don't go to win a scrimmage. I'm pretty sure that they don't publish who won the scrimmage.
Right.
So I'm not. I'm just really looking to see, are we ready to hit, and are we executing to where we're supposed to be.
In the last couple of years, what would you say are some of the major changes that you've seen in the evolution of high school football, whether it's equipment-wise, the technology, like you mentioned, the huddle and that type of thing, the safety issue with the concussion protocol and that. What would you point to as some of the couple of major renovations in the sport?
Well, concussions are huge. I mean, that needs to be at the top of everyone's list. And I think that, again, going back to, we don't want to have those issues. We're trying to stay away from the injury type of thing. We teach a form of tackling that's way different than when I learned how to tackle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get your head in there and you're trying to pop the football, and we're not teaching that way anymore. Helmets are so much better than what they used to be. I mean, man, when I played, it was like foam.
Yep.
Here's a little bit of foam. Hopefully it keeps your brain intact.
Didn't have the individual cells at all. It was like a leather web.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then if you were lucky enough, you got an air helmet and they pumped air into it
because
that was supposed to help. But, that has come a long ways, and I really, really hope that, it keeps going that way, because my fear is that as this becomes more of an issue, if we can't find a way to diminish some of that head injury issues, I'm afraid, football might not be a sport that's around very long, and hockey would be right behind it.
Yep. And not only the actual injury, but the fear of injury is maybe something even more to overcome with, and rightfully so. I think parents are 100% should be concerned about the health of their sons, playing the sport. But until you can overcome those two obstacles, I think you're right. You're going to see participation numbers really struggle at all levels.
Yeah, and if you look around the state, you are seeing some major consolidation of schools for
mm-hmm.
football.
Mm-hmm.
of course, I can't name it off the top of my head, but it's coming, and it's a reality, and it's scary to think that some of these schools that could host their own program for many, many, many years, the numbers are right. declining, and now you're having
are to, now a slash hyphen, program.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Browerville is actually a great example. Yep. Browerville and Eagle Valley. Yep. In their own right, were two very good football programs for many, many years.
And Jamie, I'm older than you, and I went to Gray Eagle, and it was Browerville, Eagle Bend, and Clarissa. It wasn't even Eagle Valley. There was three out of those two.
I didn't even know Clarissa had a...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they were the Clarissa Bucks. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so I just learned something new
today. Yes, yeah. They were their own separate entity. Yeah, they sure were. Their school colors were green and yellow. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. The options for schools to field teams are getting smaller. And who knows? Class 9, man, might be one of the biggest class. That might turn right on its head.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's hopefully something that the State High School League is looking at, going to district football and what it has done and where we're going. The parity between Class A, 1A, and 2A right now is really, really close.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, boy, when you took the jump from 1A to 2A, boy, look out.
It's
a whole different animal. And it's really not that way anymore. And you're seeing nine-man become super, super competitive.
Yep.
And it's because, again, you're having to grab all these different schools to try to form a program. And I don't know. So back to the whole initial question is that the helmet evolution and what that's going to look like, I mean, it's going to cost more and more and more to be able to outfit a kid properly with a proper PPE to be able to play, participate in the sport. And with that, again, schools having to slash budgets and it is a scary proposition looking forward. I just don't know what to think that 10 years, what that's going to look like.
You mentioned the district schedule. Let's get into the meat of the schedule here for the Royalton Royals. You went 9-2 a year ago. You up until the KMS game at the end of the regular season, you'd run the table, and you ended up bowing out to Moose Lake Willow River in the 7AA playoffs up in Esco. Coming back, new opener this year, Thursday night, Maple Lakes in town, a team I'm very familiar with. They come out of our sub-district. The Irish, another run-oriented team, a power football team with Tim Knutson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are going to be a handful. We really anticipated last year, that Sox Center being as very large as they were, that it was, it was going to be a real meat grinder. And now looking ahead to this year, looking at Maple Lake, it's like, boy, again, I guess if we're going to be as good as we want to be, I think we need to start beating some pretty good teams, and why not start with Maple Lake?
KMS, you get them on the road in week two, and as we mentioned, that's the team that ended your undefeated run at the end of the MEA Wednesday, I guess we still call it now. Maybe a little circle on the calendar for that one to get the Fighting Saints back.
Yeah, it was a tough game last year, so because I don't work in the district and I have a job that sometimes I need to travel.
Mm-hmm.
I actually missed that game, so
okay.
I was away, listening intently to what was going on, and it was
a helpless feeling. I bet
it was tough to hear this fumble and this happened, and it was tough. But we're going to start out right away in a meat grinder.
Yep, you're home to Maple Lake, at KMS, at Parker's Prairie before you return home for BBE, home to Benson. Then you go at Long Prairie Gray Eagle, home to Browerville, and then you wrap it up at the big rival Upsala-Swanville game in Swanville on the Wednesday afternoon. Any portion of that schedule concern you more, or is it a week-by-week? You're the Tom Kelly cliche type, one game at a time.
It's really one game at a time. I don't know anything about Benson at this point. I'm from a little bit familiar with Long Prairie, but that's been probably 4 or 5 years now. So I'd like to think that what used to be the old Prairie Conference,
mm-hmm.
I still think that we play some pretty good hard-nosed football, play a lot of, it's a very, very physical conference. And from my standpoint, and I know that a lot, those teams are Class A, but it's not so much about the class. It's the style of football, and there's a lot of smash mouth going on in almost every one of those games. So this is really, it's right now everything's focused at Maple Lake.
7AA, if you look to the end of the year, is Moose Lake the favorite again coming back, or is that something that isn't even entered the thought process yet?
I'm not going to lie. I'm very competitive by nature. And being a bridesmaid 2 years in a row and not the bride, it does sting a little bit. So in the back of my mind, I know where – and then the kids do too. We know where we want to get to. Yep. But we can't look
at – But what's it going to take to get over that hurdle?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's a long, long season.
It is. Yep.
And you end the whole season with your rival on a day game, and USA is a very well coached football team, and they're going to come, and there's probably some revenge factor from last year that they're looking for as well. So, you know, we're going to have to be playing some really good football towards the end of the year.
Well, good luck in your scrimmage tomorrow, and expect which one is your homecoming game? I'm going to guess it's going to be the Browerville game.
It is Benson, actually. Our parents' night will be Browerville. So.
Well, that's week five. Mm-hmm. Week five, Benson, and then Browerville week seven, as I look at your schedule here.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Well, good luck, Maple Lake, Coach Morford, and good luck to the Royals here in 2019. Stay healthy, first of all, I guess, for the guys. That's always the key factor. And nothing gets a school fired up than having a good winning football program, does it?
You're right, and hopefully we can keep this this tradition going. But again, it starts Thursday, so nothing set in stone until we get through Thursday, and we'll see what happens.
That is head coach Jamie Morford of the Royalton Royals football team. He's joined us here on the You Are There Sports Royalton Football Preview Show.